Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
With us on the line now is Joe Gray, a passionate conservationist who has a master's degree in zoology from Cambridge. He's a volunteer park naturalist and a trustee at Highfield Park, running courses for people of all ages on various aspects of natural history and reconnecting with nature. His book, 13 Paces by 4, was triggered by the COVID lockdown when he found himself drawing inspiration from goings-on in the small back garden of his terrace suburban house. An outdoor space that he has measured at 13 paces long by 4 paces wide. Welcome to the show, Joe. Hello, Joe, are you with us?
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. So I imagine for you as such a lover of the outdoors and spending much of your days and your working life outdoors, lockdown must have been particularly difficult for you.
Yes, at first I felt, oh my, what am I going to do if I can't get out to see the places that I love? Even places in my, 10 miles away, I can't get to see them. Mm. What am I going to do? So that was the start of it. But then, like many people, I quickly realised that there were plenty of things right under my nose that would give me that sort of joy of nature.
Yeah, so tell us about your outdoor space, aside from the fact that it's 13 paces long by 4 paces wide. It doesn't sound very big.
No, so kind of the point of the book is that one can do a lot with the small space. One can do something to really help with conservation, to sort of help in the fight to save biodiversity and to work against something which has been called the sixth mass extinction, which is a sort of cataclysmic loss of species, which is going on right now, although it perhaps doesn't get that much attention in the major press. So the space itself is small, but it's also very ordinary. You know, it's set in a small city called St Albans in England. A small city, it's in, suburban. There aren't sort of large woods in the area. There aren't large meadows. There's no river particularly close by. But one can still, by just doing a few simple things, and in addition to sort of respecting nature, rather than seeing it as something that humans should sort of dominate, then it's amazing what can be done, what can be achieved.
Yeah. So what were some of the things that you did then when you first started to appreciate the outdoor space that you had?
So I guess it's a long-term project. Some results have been quicker than others. Early on, the big change we made in the garden was digging a pond, putting a pond in England, in Great Britain. The number of ponds in gardens is declining rapidly, so they're increasingly important as spaces for toads and frogs. So that was a sort of big piece of intervention. But another big part of it has actually been sort of letting the garden take its own course. So it's not a sort of overrun patch of weed as some people might envision it to be when I say that. But the plants will want to do their own thing to a certain extent. And if you let the wild plants that might be growing in your area thrive, rather than, say, putting in lots of, exotic plants, then you'll find that the local insect populations will benefit as well. So you don't really need to do a huge amount to let all of that happen. And in fact, a key part of it is just sort of letting it unfold. Don't use any nasty chemicals, and then see the amazing results and enjoy all this wildlife right around you.
Mm. Yeah, interesting point you make about the chemicals. You know, if you go to a garden centre, there are so many different kind of sprays that you can get for killing certain insects that are eating certain plants and flowers and things. Are they really necessary? Do we need all these chemicals?
Yeah, absolutely not. A thriving garden will have sort of different layers to it. If you think of a sort of food chain, if you have birds coming in, they'll eat the insects. The insects will keep the plants in check. You have frogs and toads, and they can help keep slugs in check. So actually, instead of thinking of the garden as a space that needs to be controlled with lots of chemicals and everything has to be done by human hand, nature will do a lot of this itself, very neatly. It's been doing it for, you know, billions of years. So, chemicals, I think, is avoiding the use of nasty chemicals is a fundamental pillar of good gardening for wildlife.
Yes, good stuff. So did you find yourself doing different things then in your garden and in your outdoor space during lockdown?
Yeah, so I'm certainly enjoying it more as a space for recreation, despite its size. So one of the things I did during lockdown, which I'd never thought to do before, was to sleep out in there. You know, sometimes I go out and might sleep in a local woodland, although it's illegal in the UK. I've been known to do it, but I've never thought to sleep out in my garden. So I spent a few nights sleeping out there, which was wonderful, because there wasn't that much noise pollution. As people will know, obviously the number of flights were reduced, and an impact of that was you could actually hear what else was going on. You could hear all the birds sing, and it was, now looking back on it, although obviously pandemic's been terrible in many ways, it was there were some sort of silver lining moments, and one of them was really being able to experience nature right close to us.
Mm. Oh, lovely. So were you sleeping in a tent or
just just in a sleeping bag?
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, looking at the stars. There are still some stars around. So that is funny, because genuinely never would have even thought to do that before the pandemic. But the other thing is, I just hadn't really been looking closely enough. So I would, I don't like to travel too far to sort of enjoy nature, but I might be traveling 20 miles to a woodland, 30 miles to see a meadow, and for the last 10 years, I haven't really been paying that much attention to the garden, the 10 years that came before the pandemic, that is. So although I'm, reasonably competent at identifying quite a number of different species of insects, for instance, they were there in my garden, must have been there for years, and I've never even noticed them. I'm not meant to be a good naturalist. So that's interesting, because I've been so busy looking at everywhere else but the garden. It was incredible to sort of find. I found, for instance, before I was only aware of two different species of ladybird in the garden. But during the sort of early months of the pandemic, I encountered eight species of ladybird.
Wow.
I'd missed six somehow, So it shows I wasn't paying. I had one eye on the garden, but not both eyes on the garden.
Yeah. So how many? I'm intrigued, because if you think of non-naturalist person thinks of a ladybird, they will think of a red body with black dots on it. How many other variations are there then? What do they all look like?
There's one of the really lovely ladybirds I had in the garden. It's called a 22-spot ladybird, which is smaller than the classic sort of red and black garden ladybird, the 7-spot, smaller than the harlequin ladybird, which is quite pervasive. It's much smaller. It's bright yellow, bright lemon yellow coloured, 22 black spots, and this ladybird feeds on mildew. So again, most people wouldn't like mildew in their garden, think it might be unsightly. Actually, it's food for a rather attractive species of ladybird.
How interesting. So with all the dots then, they all have the same, as in each species has the same number of dots. I'd never thought about that.
Yeah, there's 10 spot ladybird, 14 spot ladybird, 16 spot ladybird, 24 spot ladybird.
Wow. And
you'll find there's variations in some of them. It's not always as completely straightforward as that, but some of them do stick to their names pretty religiously. So there's an amazing amount of diversity even amongst those, ladybirds.
Yeah. So are they the only two colours, the red and the yellow?
You'll find black, dark brown.
So the black ladybird, what colour spots do they have then?
Well, there are some one species of ladybird which isn't particularly spotted at all in the small and black in the garden. And it's probably not one that people would recognise as a ladybird instantly, but it is closely related. The harlequin ladybird, which is sort of spread around various countries, that is... Just that one species has a huge number of different colour forms. So some harlequin ladybirds are sort of red, like the classic seven-spot ladybird, with lots of black spots. Other ones are black, with just two red spots on them.
Oh!
You will also find orange-coloured ladybirds as well, different shades of orange. And they're easy to... It's a lovely, actually, for someone wanting to get into... natural history, the ladybirds are really nice because there's quite a lot of literature published on them. They're quite easy to find, and there is a lovely diversity of forms and colours, as we've just been discussing.
Fantastic. It must be really fun when you're doing the teaching courses, getting people excited about nature, especially young children, I guess. If you can get them interested at an early age, then hopefully it's something they can stay interested in and care about as well, the environment, as an adult.
Definitely, yeah. It's hugely important, that sort of contact with nature at a young age. And when given the chance, most children are inherently fascinated by nature. It's giving them the chance that is important. The other thing to say there is... some people sort of have that contact with nature in childhood and then somehow sort of drift away from it a little bit when they go into the so-called real world with jobs and mortgages and taxes and all of that. So it's also important to think about how we can make sure that those people who were lucky enough to have contact with nature in their early childhood stay in touch with it and continue to do the right things and continue to enjoy it as their life develops.
Yes. So are you, is COVID kind of over for you in your world? Are you back at work as normal, teaching people about the natural world?
Yeah, so actually a lot of the stuff I do that you mentioned is as an amateur, as a hobby or as a volunteer. I've just sort of been working throughout the pandemic because my job transfers very easily to working from home. So yeah, I've been one of the lucky ones, I think, there.
So are you enjoying being back outside a bit more now then?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'll never forget that experience of being forced to learn just how much nature there was in my garden. Because I think I've done some of the right things over the years to allow that to happen, but also because it's nature does incredible things if given a chance. So that's great. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I'd be happy to just stay in the garden for the rest of my life. I do like to be able to get out and about a little bit. But yeah, certainly appreciating local nature more than I ever have before.
And I like your title, 13 Paces by 4. Very clever. Made me smile. Well, yes. if people want to get a copy of the book, that's what it's called, 13 Paces by 4. It's by Joe Gray, who we've been chatting to. The book's available on our website, tre.radio. Joe, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.